Come Easy Go podcast, celebrating West Virginia people, places, and the culture of Southern Appalachia. Here's your host, Wayne Bennett.
Welcome to the Wayne Bennett podcast. This is our 50th episode. I'd like to give a big shout out to the Las Vegas Raiders and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Both of them are in the playoffs. And I'm not really a Raiders or Steelers fan, but I was kind of rooting for them this time. The Raiders, in kind of a memorial to John Madden, who just recently passed away, and the Steelers, Roethlisberger, the quarterback, this is his last year. And I was kind of tickled to death to see those guys get in. And we're taping this on January the 10th, 2022. And our guest today is Richard Jarrell. He's the owner and operator of the local Chick-fil-A restaurants. He's a businessman extraordinaire and a humanitarian and a friend. Welcome, Richard. Glad to have you.
I am so excited to be here, Wayne. I've been listening to all your podcasts and just really excited to spend the time with you.
Well, we're glad to have you. Now, you weren't born with a silver spoon in your mouth. Where'd you live when you were born?
I grew up in East Beckley on Lionel Street off of Johnstown Road. The way I could describe where I lived, it was behind the beer joint. I lived behind what in the old days was Chi Chi's Grill, and then it became Hofbräuhaus. And the Corkscrew, it was
White Place. Billy Joe's had it for a little while.
But that's where I grew up. I was kind of I would call myself a tweener, in that I was between Bowling Edition and between what was truly East Beckley. I went to Lincoln Elementary School, but across the street, you went to Sylvia. Thanks.
Yeah.
I went to Sylvia across the street.
Now, I remember delivering papers to you guys, and it's kind of funny that the old neighborhood across the street from you used to be kind of an old schoolhouse type home. The Braggs lived there.
Sure did.
Then
it became Moore's Car Lot.
Then Alderman's, Harris, Hayden's, Shulver's, Miser, Martin, all those people lived on Bailey or right there on Lionel. After all these years, I can't believe it. I can remember those names, but they all made some type of impression.
Well, that schoolhouse you're talking about was actually the oldest standing one-room schoolhouse that was standing for a long, long time before it became the car lot, and then they later tore it down years later. But Danny Moore's dad was Danny and Billy Moore. You know, their dad had the car lot there just across the street from us that faced Johnstown Road.
And Grant Sisson owned a lot of the block and down Houston Street. And, I mean, he owned the station, Pure Oil Station.
You want to talk about a character, Grant Sisson, buddy. He walk around there with his bibbed overalls on all the time, and he had his
railroad hat.
Railroad cap, you know, hat, and he was meaner than a snake, and all of us kids were afraid of him. He owned houses and apartments, and then he opened what really we knew as the first oil change station that was right there behind the old Dairy Queen, and it was an oil change shop.
Yep.
And it's been several different things over the years, but he had the first one, and on the corner where the CJ's liquor is now, that was where he had the Pennzoil station.
Yep.
And some folks might remember this, but he had race cars. You know, he did the dirt track racing out at the track in Prosperity, and he would work on those cars there in the gas station.
Now, you say you went to Lincoln Elementary, and you delivered papers, too.
I delivered papers starting when I was 11 years old. I sure did. Had two different routes. Picked them up there at Carolina Supermarket. I delivered the Raleigh Register in the afternoons. But then, as you know, on the weekends, you delivered in the mornings on Saturdays and Sundays.
And back in the old days, of course, it was Atkinson Supermarket when I delivered papers. But back in the old days, we used to have to stuff the Sunday papers. We had had to put the comics in the papers, and it was a little bit different. Now, I know you hung around at the Y quite a bit, too, didn't you?
Well, I sure did. I grew up at the Y and Bulwick Bowling Alley is really the two places I grew up. And just to kind of frame that story, you said I didn't grow up with a whole lot. You know, I was the son of a disabled coal miner. When I was 7 years old, my dad was in a slate fall accident. He was working at Armco number 7 down Montcoal, and the slate rooftop fell on top of him, severed his spinal cord, and he never walked again, and I was 7 years old. Never saw my dad walk again other than with braces on or something like that, and he was in a wheelchair for 17 years. So my mom was trying to work and take care of dad and all this kind of thing, and the YMCA really saved us as, in terms of a family, because they were the ones that she counted on to help take care of me and almost kind of babysit me a lot.
And I remember seeing a quote once that when I was a little guy, my mom was trying to find good activities for me to do. The YMCA with Bob Bolin, Mill Hancock, and the gang was there for me. And that was at the old facility.
It was at the old Memorial Building, right. And I will tell you, and you probably don't even remember this, but you were part of the old gang back in the day. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, Bob, Mel, Carlos Garten, you, the Ruble Boys. Chuck Littlejohn. Thanks for bringing up Chuck. Chuck was there. Just a whole big group of guys that helped do that. But there was a newspaper article on me back when I was 10 years old, because it had me, I was in my Little League baseball outfit, you know, with, I guess maybe I was playing for the Millers back then. And I've got on my uniform, and I've got a baseball glove, I've got a football, I've got a basketball, all this in my hand. And they were telling the story, you know, about how the YMCA programs, you know, I was involved in every week of the summer. I mean, I went from camp to camp to camp and did day camp, you know, after the sports camps were over. So, yeah.
A lot of parents back then used the camps as babysitters and stuff like that. And it was good, clean activities. I had a club that was made up of high school students called the High Y program. And at the particular time, I mean, we got into making laws and all kinds of different things. And at the particular time, the guys I had in there, they were all males. That they I didn't think they were the smartest guys in the world, but then come to find out, we had Dr. Gary Poling, Darryl Poling, Larry Farley, Rick Snuffer, all those guys turned out to be great in the professions that they were in.
Well, really what you're doing is you're naming all the kids that I grew up with and that lived down Mankin Avenue. Gary and Darryl were on Mankin. Jimmy Hughes was on Mankin. Mike O'Dell was there. Rick Snuffer. All those guys grew up right on that wing of Mankin Avenue.
In Bowling Edition at that time, they had their own midget league football team and all that.
I played for them. I was, in fact, it was kind of funny. I mean, if there was my best sport ever playing as a kid, it was football. And I played for Bowling Edition. And all my friends across the street played for East Beckley. Philip Maltempe and the guys, they played for East Beckley, and I was on Bowling Edition. But my mom wouldn't let me play when I went to junior high, because she had put braces on my teeth, and she said, "I'm not going to spend that kind of money and let you get your teeth knocked out playing football."
Now, when you went to junior high, you went to Stratton.
I sure did.
Did you get involved in some other activities in junior high?
I did. I was in the band. Again, mom wouldn't let me play football, and I wasn't good enough to make the team in basketball. Yeah, so I was in the band all the years, and then I was very active at Memorial Baptist Church. you know, in the youth group there.
What'd you play in the band?
Trombone.
Trombone. Trombone. All right. The guy that plays for Chicago, James Banco, right, or whatever his name is. Oh, my God. He still plays.
The great part about Chicago is their brass section. Oh, yeah. All their horns were just awesome.
My wife, Diane, plays the trumpet, and she played quite often up until just a few years ago. And I used to play a little guitar, and maybe we can get a band together.
Well, I don't even have a horn anymore.
And now, so you were in the band. Who was the band?
Mr. McKinney was the band director at Stratton back in the day. And our principal was Mr. Veneri, and vice principal was Mr. Redden.
Redden. Veneri had taught phys ed at Beckley Junior High when I was there, but I never had him. I think he always taught seventh graders, but he was a tough one.
He was funny. Yeah, he loved to play golf. And I remember we would go in the gym in the mornings, and you'd sit in the bleachers waiting to go to class. And he would be out there, and he would have a little grass mat out there, and he would have his pitching wedge, and he would be trying to chip shots into a trash can in the gym. Vaughn York was our gym teacher. Coach Anderson was there. Then later, Coach Ross came in, so.
And Veneri, a lot of people didn't know this, but Veneri was one of the highest rated basketball officials. In the state. I mean, he called college and high school, everything.
Which was kind of funny watching him run down the floor because he had those bow legs.
He was so bow-legged.
Oh, he was so bow-legged.
Then, so when you went to high school, you played trombone in the band at high school?
I did it in the 10th grade. I only did it in the 10th grade, and then I quit because I got a job. You know, listening to you talk to Pete the other on his podcast where he talked about he didn't play sports because he got a job. Well, I did the same thing. I started working when I was 15 years old for E.M. Payne Company, and I've never had a day since then, and when I was 15, that I haven't had a job.
What'd you do for at 15?
Well, we had a store at Raleigh Mall. And I worked in the men's department. It was supposed to just be a Christmas job. My mom and dad knew the manager over there, and they helped me get a job. So Bob Wilson was his name, and he gave me a chance. And I guess I did well because he kept me on after that. And then I worked uptown during the next summer, and yeah, was doing well with it. And then I'd go down to Freddy's and eat lunch when I worked uptown. Mr. Alex George comes up to me one day sitting at the bar, and he says, "When are you going to come to work for me?" And I said, "Sir, you've never asked me to come to work for you before." He says, "Well, come talk to Zan." So I went and talked to Zan, and I went to work for George's and learned the retail business from them as well. And so then I had little did Mr. Wilson know that I would have a 20-year career in the retail business before I did this, what I'm doing now.
When you graduated, were you still working for George's at the time?
Yeah. You know, I was working for George's when I graduated high school. And when everybody else went away to school, I stayed local. I continued to work for them for 2 years. I went to Beckley College. I was able to pay my way through school then, and with the assistance of our neighbor, who was Murray Schuff. You may remember Murray
Schuff.
Lived
right behind you, right in front of the Spillmans.
Right, exactly. And Murray believed in education, and he wanted to help me. So he would say, you know, if you get a B average, I will buy your books for you. So I had that help. And, you know, I was just a poor kid, you know, trying to get through. And the crazy thing, this is just crazy, that so here I was working, trying to make my own money to buy my own car and stuff like that. And then you always did your Pell Grant, right? So I did my Pell Grant, and it came back, and my family's living off of Social Security and workman's compensation, and they turned me down for Pell Grant. Because they said I made too much money personally, that I should have saved 75% of that money to go towards college. So, you know, it's just crazy.
Makes it. Well, now, did your mom at one time worked a little bit out Beckman Manufacturing, did she?
Man, you do your research. Yeah, she was a group leader at Beckley Manufacturing with those guys. And she was, you know, head of the union out there. So, yeah.
Did your dad have a nickname today?
My dad had lots of nicknames.
Clean ones?
Yeah, they're repeatable. They called him Satch.
Satch is the one I was thinking about.
Satch Gerald. Talmage was his middle name. Some people called him Talmage. Some people called him Satch. But most people called him Satch.
And what you played the music in junior high and as a sophomore. What kind of music did you listen to?
I mean, we would listen to a little bit of everything. You know, it was kind of, I mean, I liked, you know, Chicago and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it was really kind of funny back in the day. I was an entrepreneur then in that Philip Maltempe's brother, Mark, and he had a stereo system and I had a stereo system. And we would take old 8-track tapes. Believe it or not, we figured out how you could take old 8-track tapes and tape over the ends of them and you could record on them. And we started, you know, pirating, you know, recording music onto these 8-track tapes and selling them to people.
I guess the statute of limitations run out.
We're safe now. But we called it Malrail Productions for Maltempe and Gerald Productions. But liked a little bit of everything. And then, you know, in high school, Joey Childers and I actually started DJing dances and stuff for sub-deb dances and things like that. So it was just, you know, it was good times.
Well, how did you end up going to Virginia? I mean,
Well, you know, like I said, I went to Concord. I went to Beckley College for 2 years, and I transferred to Concord. Graduated in 84 with my degree there in business.
Did you meet your wife at this time?
Or? That's another story. I'll get to that in a second. No, not then. Okay. So then we, in 85, I got a job with S&K Menswear, which was a menswear chain out of Richmond, Virginia. And I started with them. And I started with them in Charlotte. If you'll remember, Tony, that used to have the Gentry Men's Shop that was in the Raleigh Mall years ago. Well, Tony started working for them, and he told me about them, and I interviewed with them and stayed on with them for 14 years. And that's the only place I worked for after college, other than I spent 1 year in Charleston working for George H. Wright's menswear, which was out of Huntington. So I did that for all those years. And, you know, so then I had an entrepreneurial itch. So I started looking around for what I wanted to do. And I knew about Chick-fil-A, and, you know, I really was very impressed with their culture and who they are and the way they do business, the way they're involved in community and things like that. So I applied, and it took me a year to get in, but my first opportunity with them was they said, we're going to open our very first freestanding store in Northern Virginia, and it was in Chantilly. So we relocated up there, and we were there for 6.5 years. Before coming back home to Beckley in 2006.
And you say we?
My wife and I.
Okay.
All right, so here's the story on that. So Beth and I, we grew up together at Memorial Baptist Church. You know, she was, from the time we were in junior high, she was there, I was there, we never dated. You know, she was a homebody, bookworm, you know, she just kind of quiet. And I was anything but quiet. So we didn't get together, but we were always friends and did things together. And she got married. I was at her wedding. I got married. She was at my wedding. And we both divorced. And we got together at our 10-year class reunion. Believe it or not, we were just a bunch of friends, you know, hanging out at the 10-year class reunion. We started calling each other, and then we got married. So, yeah.
Yeah, I used to go up to into Northern Virginia and work in the summer. I'd started actually between my sophomore and junior year, and I lived in around Chantilly for a while, Manassas Park.
Manassas, mm-hmm.
But back then all that was country.
That was country.
Yeah.
The only, when they built Dulles Airport out there, which was, you know, people go, why in the world are they building this airport all the way up there? That's crazy. But it is, that's the most fastest growing place in America over the last probably 10 years.
And the traffic's terrible.
And that's why we left. I mean, we were just, you know, we lived 17 miles. We lived in Gainesville, which is close to Manassas, and which was 17 miles away from our restaurant. But it would take me 45 minutes to an hour and a half to get home or to work one way.
So you had a restaurant there, but you wanted to come back. And how did that work business-wise?
I'd heard a rumor that they were looking for a store to put a freestander here. And somebody said, asked me if I'd be interested in it. And I said, I don't know anything about it. I thought they were really wanting to talk to me about coming back to do Crossroads Mall, and I didn't want to do that. So I started doing the research and found out they were going to do a freestander, and I did more research and I found out that Mike Jarrell and his company, Paramount Development, was developing that whole area with Lowe's and Sam's and Walmart and the movie theater. But when I saw that they were putting a 14 theater cinema there, I said, that's going to be good. So we wanted to slow down the pace of life, and Beth's mom was still living at the time, and we, you know, applied to move our franchise here, and people looked at me, and they even told me, you're crazy. What are you moving back into Beckley, West Virginia for? You know, you've built this business. It's growing up here, and, you know, you own the community. Why would you want to go back home? You're not going to make the money that you do. And we took a step of faith, built a house, moved her mom in with us, built an in-law suite, and the first full year that we were open here, we did as much business at Galleria as it took us 6 years to do in Northern Virginia.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's go back one second. That during your time in the school system, at Woodrow, Beckley College, sure. Concord, was there any particular individual that might have influenced you, or anybody in the business world that you worked for that really had a great influence on you?
I had a lot of people that influenced me. I will tell you, Murray Schuff was a huge influence on my life growing up. You know, as nutty as he could be sometimes, you know, he was a very bright man, and he life coached me. He, you know, he taught me a lot about that. But then when I got into business, the Georges, Alex, you know, Zan George and Mr. Alex and Mr. Larry and Mr. Lewis, those guys really taught me a lot. And then, you know, when I, you know, got into college, I had a great professor, that Miss Becky Wills, that who was great at over there. But and then in elementary, even go back to elementary school, my favorite teacher probably I ever had was Betty Wilkes. And just loved Ms. Wilkes. And she was just always the best. Yeah. So.
What's the hardest part of your job now? What's the hardest part?
People. It's people. It's it's hard to find good people that fit our organization. I joke around. I say we dig through a lot of dirt to find diamonds, because we want diamonds. You need to be a superstar if you're going to work for us. You know, we have high expectations, and we believe in standards and expectations, and that just doesn't fit a lot of people today. Mm-hmm. And so that's the tough thing is finding good people. As my organization has grown, the toughest thing for me has been not to know each one of my people personally like I used to. When I only had one store, I knew them all. I knew their family. I knew everything about them. Now we've got, you know, 175 people working for us at any one given day, you know, with turnover and new people. It's hard to know everything about everybody.
Since you've been back around Beckley, and I don't know whether this is part of your being an owner, manager, but you've been really active in the community. You've been the United Way chairperson. Mm-hmm. Man, that's an unbelievable job, trying to raise as much money as they do. And somebody even told me you were the guy that came up with the Wonderland of Trees
idea. Yeah, yeah.
And that's a perfect fundraiser. I mean, we love it. We love to go see it. But
Well, you know, I really feel like that God has placed us in this opportunity. And it is an opportunity. It's an opportunity for us to have influence on those that work with us, on our guests, and on the community. And I believe that he continues to bless us to enable us to do more and do more. And I've been able to dabble in a lot of different stuff. United Way, I was, like you said, I was the chairperson, and it was, you know, like 10 years ago. And we raised, it was the first year we ever raised $500,000. And we hit that goal the quickest that we ever had. You know, I've done that, I've done the school board, I've just came off 2 years ago being the chairman of the Chamber of Commerce. Yeah, it's just done a lot of different stuff.
Beckley Area Foundation.
Beckley Area Foundation. I was a grant reader with them, and we have our own family grant, you know, trust that we've set up with Beckley Area Foundation, and we've been instrumental in setting one up for our graduating class, 1980 class, through Beckley Area Foundation. Yeah, that's a funny story, in that I was sitting there awarding scholarships, and they give you the program, and I'm looking, and I see all these different classes that have had scholarships, and that they give scholarships in the honor of that class. And I hadn't, there hadn't been one since, I think, it maybe 73, you know. So I said, we need to do that. I said, class of 80 needs to do that. And we did it, and in the first year, you have to have $10,000 in the fund, mm-hmm. to establish the fund. First year, we raised $10,000 the first year. Wow. So it's fully established now.
Now, is that an unrestricted, or is that a designated?
It'll be designated for scholarships.
Okay. Yeah, that's me. Now, what do you do on your free time, if you have any?
Well, I don't have a lot of free time, but I make time to play golf. I like to play golf. I like to spend time with friends. You know, we've moved out to Glade Springs, and it was really kind of, we loved living where we lived up on Maxwell Hill and Cranberry Point. It's the most convenient place in Raleigh County, I think. But I really wanted to start preparing for what's the next thing. And the next thing was, trying to figure out retirement.
If you decide to retire and you would sell your store, and that's really rare, someone to have three Chick-fil-A stores, right?
I mean, there's only about 30 of us in the entire brand, which would be like 1% of the operators have three operations. So we kind of call ourselves the 1% club.
But now, if you decide to sell out or retire, how does that work? Do they control?
They control it. I give it back to them. Really, I mean,
really.
And it's not an asset that I can sell. I mean, I could spend two of your sessions explaining the way it's set up, but I don't have an equity position to sell. Chick-fil-A owns that building. They own the land. They own the building. They own the equipment. And I rent from them, is the way it's set up.
Now, your daughter just got married.
She sure did. Yeah, she got married October 9th, and she lives up in Hurricane, and she's a hairdresser, and we're quite proud of her. She's doing great up there.
Of course, you became a big volleyball supporter back there was playing.
I was eat up with it. I was eat up with it, and we still are. Beth and I will still go to volleyball matches now, because you know how it is. I mean, when you're involved in that stuff, we did travel ball, through Club Attack, and we traveled all over the place, and you make friends, and so it was just great. And I love to yell and scream at the officials and all that stuff.
Well, now you're a visionary, I mean, for sure. But besides having world peace and solving the pandemic situation, what would you like to see in the very near future?
Man, in the Beckley area?
Beckley area.
First thing I like to see is I like for us to figure out this homelessness situation. It's a big deal around here. And really, a lot of it's not true homelessness. A lot of it's just people walking the streets and things like that. I like to see downtown Beckley, or I call it Uptown Beckley. I'd like to see that reestablished to where we have shops and restaurants like in Lewisburg or Fayetteville where people want to come to us rather than us going to them. I mean, I would love to see our neighborhood where we grew up established, you know. I'd love to be able to see some development go in there and just redo it. But that's going to take something huge to do that. But I just want to preserve this place. You know, this is home. And it's got a lot to offer. It's got a whole lot to offer. And I think it's got great opportunity. And, you know, I just love to follow people like Pete Tirico and Donnie Holcomb and people like that are great thinkers and, you know, about what do we do to take care of this place.
Yeah. Well, listen, our time is up.
and you know
what the question is, but you've been blessed and you've been a blessing to a lot of people, and we do appreciate you, and I hope that you continue to keep that great attitude, and but will you come back and talk to us?
Oh, I'd love to. I love listening to these things. They're great.
And anybody else out there, you can check us out on Facebook. We're going to have a celebration here in a couple of weeks. We'll be on for 1 year, and we got some special prizes we're going to be giving away. So check us out on Facebook. And if you're interested in being on our program, check me out on email, awbennett50@gmail.com, or Facebook, and we'll get you on here. Until next time, remember, if you're not dead yet, you're not done yet. And God bless you.